We go to the great Jack Curry. He's got a new book out now. It's a wonderful book. Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. You know Jack, of course, with his incredible work on the YES Network and his years and years as an award-winning journalist with the New York Times. And we welcome Jack. First time to the airwaves right here on Long Island on LI News Radio. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
It is a pleasure. You know, first off, I want to say I'm not into pre or post games at all when I watch baseball. I like the action, get right into it. But I got to tell you, Jack, you make it impossible for me to miss pre and post for my New York Yankees because, you know, I think you're the best in the business. Your analysis, along with the great Bob Lorenz over there, sometimes Ryan Rucco of late, it's like no other, and I give you so much credit for that, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That's a heavy compliment there. I'm glad that we coax you to stay around and watch our post game, but I'm also glad you mentioned some of the people that I work with. Bob Lorenz is a TV master, and I work with him 90% of the time. We've got a great producer in Jared Boschnack, so good team over there, and I'm glad to hear that you tune in.
Into the book, David Cone is one of my favorites of all time. You collaborated with him on Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. And, you know, I look at David Cone, Jack, because I go back, you know, when he came up, you know, the Mets, his journeys through Toronto, Kansas City, eventually the Yankees. You know, listen, he had highs and lows. That's how you can kind of, you know, kind of grasp the career of David Cone. And even as his now stint with YES, he's one of the best I've heard, no question, in analyzing games. But give us an idea how the collaboration kind of came about and your fascination with this guy.
Well, I've known David for a quarter of a century, and I always felt, Jay, that when he was on the mound, he was the one pitcher to me more than any other who you could see the wheels spinning. You could see him thinking two, three, four pitches ahead. You could see that competitive fire in his eyes. And I always thought it would be fascinating if you could get inside that mind. What was he actually thinking about? What was worrying him? What did he think would work? What was he afraid wouldn't work? And I got to know David really well when I was a baseball writer with the Times, and then obviously now that we've been at YES together, I've been there 10 years now, we've become even closer. And I approached him a few years ago, and I said to him exactly what I just said to you. I'd love to crawl inside your mind and tell us what the heck was going on. And Jay, I think what makes this book special is as much success as he had, he really talks about how much doubt and how much desperation there is as a major league pitcher, and how there are moments and there are times where you feel like that mound is about to swallow you up. And I think that's some of the hallmarks of this book, the times where he talks about the frailties of a major league pitcher.
I always remember, you know, I mentioned highs and lows. You know, there were plenty of lows as far as Cone accusations and whatnot way back with the old New York Mets. But I always remember, Jack, I remember like yesterday, you know, you talk about another low, an individual who was pitching so well for the New York Yankees and he developed an aneurysm in his shoulder, you know, and it could have been a life-threatening deal. And you know, the Yankees obviously shut him down. He had to get repaired. But I always remember, I believe it happened in Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. But boy, I tell you, that was a day I'll never forget with Cone.
You're absolutely right, Jay. Your memory serves you well. So he gets the aneurysm and starts to feel the pain in his fingers in 96, and that's on the heels of a 147-pitch loss at the end of 95. And obviously, you can draw a parallel and a connection there, throwing so many pitches. And he has the surgery in May, and no one knows if he's going to come back. You're absolutely right. Comes back in September against the Oakland A's and throws a 7-inning no-hitter with his father in the stands. Now, his father had been in the stands for other games, but this was the first time he was able to make eye contact with his father inning after inning based on where his father was sitting. And the theme of father and son plays out a lot in this book too, because his father, he describes him as his forever pitching coach.
And you know what's interesting, Jack, and we're talking about Jack Curry, the great Jack Curry, the new book, the wonderful collaboration with David Cone. You know, Jack, it's amazing to me how pitchers before our eyes as baseball fans, you can almost see a maturity, a maturation over the years, 17 years of career as far as Cone. As mentioned, Mets and Yankees and Royals and Blue Jays in between. But, you know, you see this maturation where he became an ace. And you knew that this guy had the stuff when he was the Mets. And, of course, you know, you take twists and turns, as always, as athletes do. But, you know, you just saw the culmination when he came to the Yankees and the five championships being a part of in his baseball career and whatnot, and really giving a lot of that maturity to a staff and leading the Yankees to their own King's Ransom. So, you know, to me, it's just fascinating when you view athletes like Cone, you know, who might have had an immaturity way back, but you saw the maturation process take place right before your eyes.
Right, and David is honest about that immaturity. He talks about that, his early days with Kansas City, then with the Mets, some of the mistakes that he made. He does start to blossom as a pitcher with the Mets in 88. He wins 20 games. But he does talk about the more he learned, the more lessons he learned, the easier pitching became. And he had a pitching coach with the Kansas City Royals, Bruce Keeson, who was his pitching coach when he won the Cy Young Award. And we have some great stories in there about what Keeson taught him. And by the time he gets to the Yankees, he's got a new formula with the way that he is going to pitch, and he has specific strategies for righties and lefties, and he basically doesn't care which righty or which lefty it is, because David always believed that a pitcher should pitch to his strength. You shouldn't worry about what the batter's strengths are. Do what you do best, and that should allow you to get a batter out. And that's some of the toughness and the competitiveness that I think we talk about in this book, and again, what made David so special as a pitcher.
Talking with Jack Curry. Jack, a lot of time left. I'd be remiss not to bring up the MASH unit that we have seen with the New York Yankees so far this season. And just in incredible resiliency, just performing. And a half a game out, the 2 out of 3 down in Tampa, incredible. What do you credit this to? Is it the manager holding steady with Aaron Boone? He's done a nice job. People just, you know, I look at a Gio Urshela. I mean, to me, he's like the second coming of Robbie Cano. I mean, what I'm seeing, even though he's kind of an older version of when Robbie came up. But in essence, everybody contributing here. It's amazing.
I think it's a credit to the entire organization today, principally the people in the front office and the player personnel people who got the Yankees some depth. I remember I've covered baseball for almost 30 years now, and you always hear the manager and the general manager give a speech in spring training. Well, we don't hear it, but obviously the players tell us about it afterwards, and they'll say it's not going to take 25 players. It's going to take 40 to 45. 25 of you are going to leave to go north with this team to start the season. We're going to need 40 to 45 of you. And I always thought, if you're guy number 26 or guy number 32, does that really resonate with you? This year with the Yankees, more than any other, that speech should have resonated because, Jay, they have needed depth at every position. When you look at the players they've lost, it's not just that they've lost some bodies. They've lost all-stars, essentially, at every position, and they've done more than kept their head above water. They've kept winning. You mentioned Urshela. He stands out on the position player side. Domingo Germán was asked to fill in the back end of the rotation, but ostensibly he's replacing Severino's spot. His numbers up to this point are as good as what Severino's numbers were last year with Severino made the All-Star team. So I credit the organization for being savvy enough to have depth to fill in for these guys. Now, you want those guys back. You don't know how sustainable this will be. You want your stars back. But these B-bombers, as General Manager Brian Cashman calls them, they've done a terrific job.
Listen, Jack, you have two. I'm going to read it. I can't wait. Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. Wonderful collaboration with David Cone. And, of course, Jack, catch him on the YES Network with the Yankee games pre and post like no other, really. Fantastic stuff. Jack, a pleasure to have you here. Hopefully we'll talk again, sir.